for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, December the 26th, 2004. Cheryl Batts of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the speaker in this service. Well, you ladies, wherever you're all at, I think we're missing some of the ladies yet, but I guess you all met Lady Cheryl upstairs, who's, I think most of you have already met her, though. But so the rest of us, why, Lady Cheryl Batts of Lake Helen Bible Camp is going to minister this afternoon and take authority over the spirits that we didn't get around to. Okay. Come, Cheryl.
Amen. Let's just pray. Father God, I just give you the praise and the glory and the honor for all things good and for the things that you have done in my life and the things that you want to do in the lives of my brothers and sisters that sit here today waiting to hear an undiluted word from you. Father God, again I decrease that you may increase in my life and that the word that I speak is the word that you say to speak. That the things that I do are the things that you say to do. Father, I thank you that your word is true. I thank you that you love your people and want to see them set free. I thank you, Father God, that you have a word that will set them free in their hearts and their minds and their souls, Father. I thank you, Father God, that you will bring them into that place where you want them to be. It has nothing to do with me except being obedient to do what you say do and to go where you say to go. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for what it's going to do. I thank you for these people. I thank you for Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and the overseer. I thank you for the opportunity to work with you and to work with the Holy Ghost to see miracles in your people wrought by your hand. In Jesus' name, I thank you and I praise you for it. Amen and amen. I believe that God wants to talk about the spirit of pride. I thought it was going to be the spirit of offense. But the spirit of offense is something that the body of Christ and everyone has been talking about over the past month. And I think that we understand that offense is not something that we need to hold on to. I think we understand that offense is something that if you hold on to it, it brings tormentors. I think that we understand that our responsibility when offended is to what? To forgive. I think our responsibility is to not only forgive, but to let it go. A lot of times we're unable to let it go. And the reason we're unable to let it go is because of a spirit of pride. That spirit that causes us to be to have pleasure in being a victim and to keep talking about the incident over and over again, stirring up those emotions that are tied to the incident. So we need to understand that forgiveness a lot of times doesn't just come because we want it to come. We have to yield our will to the will of God so that we can forgive the offense or the person that has offended us in one way or another. And as we begin to do that, we understand what trust means. We begin to understand what faith means, because it takes faith, it takes trust, it takes love, it takes the reverential fear of God to take him by his word and say, okay, I realize I have a right to be offended. I am not very happy. This is not making me feel real good. But God, I tell you what, I trust you and I believe you that if I give it to you, that you will bring me out of this so that I, when I come to this place again, I see this person again, that there will be no emotions tied to the experience. And I can look at it and see in that experience what it was that I needed to get out of it so that I don't do it again. Amen? Amen. Believe it or not, that's how it works. I want to talk to you about the spirit of pride and how it operates in causing us to be victims and willing victims to the spirit of offense. Pride also brings about division, and that is a major problem in all relationships, including our marriages. And I pray by the word of God and the scriptures that he has given me that we'll be able to touch on most of these things and that we'll be able to see that a lot of the problems that we have, a lot of the offenses that we perceive or that are real in our lives are rooted in our own spirit of selfishness and pride and our inability or our unwanting to give up our right to be offended, our right to be hurt. Amen. Pride is the inordinate, it's inordinate self-esteem. It's an exalted opinion of oneself, haughtiness and arrogance. We can find the spirit talked about in Isaiah 51 and 9, where it says, and I'm reading the Amplified version, Zion now cries to the Lord, the God of Israel, wake, awake, put on strength and might, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, as in the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab, Egypt, in pieces, who pierced the dragon, the symbol of Egypt? The dragon is the symbol of pride, and the dragon represents Egypt. Egypt has always represented the world. It represents the I self, the me, myself, and no more. That is what Egypt represents. And the Bible calls it the dragon. Leviathan in Job 41. And you can go there because we'll spend quite a bit of time in Job. Job 41 calls Leviathan the king over the children of pride. He's a ruling spirit of pride that causes people to be stubborn and stiff-necked. And it's also responsible for the hardness of heart. Amen. Leviathan is known as the piercing serpent, the crooked serpent, and the dragon. Let's go to, did I pass it? Job 41. Amen. It says, can you draw out the Leviathan, the crocodile, with a fish hook? Again, this is the Amplified version. Oppress down his tongue with a cord. Can you put a rope into his nose or pierce his jaw through with a hook or a spike? Will he make any supplications to you, begging to be spared? Will he speak soft words to you to coax you to treat him kindly? Will he make a covenant with you to take him for your servant forever? Will you play with the crocodile as with a bird? Or will you put him on a leash for your maidens? Will traders bargain over him? Will they divide him up among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand upon him. Remember your battle with him. You will not do such an ill-advised thing again. So if you do all these things and take Leviathan of the spirit of pride into your breast, you're not going to do it again. It says here that Leviathan hates Psalm 74 and 14. And I'll just read that to you because we will stay in Job. 74 and 14, it says that you crushed the heads of Leviathan, Egypt. You did give him as food for the creatures inhabiting the wilderness. So that means that when you begin to pray for someone with the spirit of pride or the spirit of Leviathan, and you begin to use the scripture to drive this spirit out, Psalm 74 and 14 reminds him that God was the one that crushed the head of Leviathan and that he fed him to the creatures in the wilderness. And this is something that that spirit does not like. Fasting also humbles the heart and will also help you with the spirit of pride. There's a crocodile spirit and a serpent, demons, dragon spirits, a common spirit that hinders deliverance, and it keeps a church or a person from receiving deliverance. Because if you are operating under the spirit of Leviathan, it's not only the state or quality of being proud and too high of an opinion on yourself, but you don't know how to depend on anybody else. You are unable to depend on God. Everything that you do is dependent upon yourself. You refuse to trust God to bring you out. You refuse to trust God in your ability to forgive and to let go offenses. You keep trying to do these things on your own as if you have the ability to crush the head of Leviathan. Leviathan brings with it a spirit of deception. And that spirit of deception will cause an individual. I mean, how much more deceived could anybody be than Pharaoh? I mean, he had the blood in the water. He had all of the curses that befell Egypt. But yet and still, he still felt that he was king. He still felt that Moses' God was not the God of Egypt and not his God. That was a spirit of deception. A person will get so far off into who they are and unable to believe in the things of God that they run into deception. And when a person is in deception, you cannot bring them out. Have you ever noticed that? That when a person is full of pride, that no matter what you say to them, no matter what you bring to them, they cannot receive what you're saying. They will always take what you're saying and say, but, and they get real intellectual. That's Orion. Orion works with Leviathan, and they can keep you in a catch-22 for a long time. And that's why when you find that you yourself are dealing with a spirit of pride in yourself or a spirit of pride in someone else, you have to depend totally on the Holy Spirit. You have to call upon God, for only God can bring a person out of a spirit of deception and delusion as to who they are and who God is. You cannot do it because they're not listening to you. Remember, they don't believe anything you say. They only believe what they say and what they do. They only believe what they can do and where they can go and what they can make happen. So that's a pretty sad place to be in. But a lot of us come into the body of Christ right there in that place. And that's why reading the Word of God transforms your mind. That's why you have to stay prayed up. That's why you have to continue to read your Word, continue to cry out to God, and fasting and praying in order to break the back of Leviathan. Leviathan has scales, and those scales are called the children of pride. Many times when you pray and you say, let the wind of the Holy Ghost go in between the scales and the children of pride, because they stay so hooked together, it's difficult to get to where you're trying to go. You ever notice the scales on a fish? You can't clean a fish going this way if the scales are going that way. You have to take and go this way to get the scales off. The scales of Leviathan and his children operate the same way. Let me give you the names of some of the children of Leviathan, okay? Because some of you are sitting there looking at me, and I'm like, have they ever fought this thing? What's going on here? In Romans 2:4-5, for your Bible study, you'll find that Leviathan will not allow a person to repent. In Job 41:10, Leviathan, pride, causes self-righteousness and complaining. Job 42:1-6. There's a deceptive spirit, the spirit of Orion, Job 9:9, Amos 5:8, Job 38:31. It's very proud, Orion is. It's very intellectual. It's almost too smart. And it specifically goes after ministers, pastors, preachers that can quote the Word of God. Oh, Orion loves them. Orion looks down on other demons. It is also a marriage-breaking spirit that causes strife, arguing, and fighting. Wrath, holding anger until it almost consumes the individual. There's a spirit of debate that comes in under pride. And that comes in, talked about in 1 Timothy 6, 3-5. There's also a spirit of pride where ignorance comes with that same spirit. Ignorance will also come with the spirit of pride, believe it or not. And that spirit, is talked about in 1 Timothy 6, 3-5. It also has a spirit of unbelief, doubt and unbelief, which also causes the hardness of heart. Psalms 10:4 will tell you that pride hinders praying and seeking of the Lord. Nehemiah 9:16-17 and 26 talks about the stiff-necked, stubborn, rebellious people that talk about idolatry and witchcraft. Still, and that's talked about as well in 1 Samuel 15:23. There's also a spirit of vanity. Now, the hardness of heart causes divorce and marital problems. And again, that's in Matthew 19:8. Unbelief and doubt in Mark 16:14. There's a lack of spiritual perception, spiritual dullness, a lack of wisdom and understanding, and also forgetfulness in Mark 8:17-18. You might want to go to Job 39 in your studies to 13:17, where it talks about no wisdom and no understanding. Now, when I first started talking, I mentioned to you about the spirit of offense. Now, there is a lack of repentance of godly sorrow in Romans 2 and 5, which causes backsliding and departing from God. And that talks about in Hebrews 3 and 12. If you do your scripture and you look up the spirit of offense, every time the word offense comes up, it is translated as stumbling and falling. Stumbling and falling. Stumbling and falling. Sounds like backsliding to me. And that spirit comes under the spirit of pride. There's a hardness of heart. You have the inability to give or receive love. And when you take that spirit with you into a marriage, it definitely wreaks havoc on your marriage. If you have the inability to give or even receive love. Rahab is a spirit of pride, meaning outrageous, it's violent, it's tumultuous, it's fierce, it's courageous, it's proud, it's vain and insolent. It's a sea monster or crocodile destroyed by the arm of the Lord in Psalms 89 and 10 and Isaiah 51 and 9. And this spirit, Rahab, has helpers that you'll find out in Job 9 and 13. And its literal meaning is the helpers of Rahab. Again, fasting breaks the power of pride. Basham, B-A-S-H-A-N, another spirit of pride. Now, these are the children of pride that I'm talking about. Leviathan, and under Leviathan, you have the hardness of heart. You've got Rahab. You've got Basham, which is a spirit of pride. The oaks of Basham spoke about in Isaiah 2 and 12 to 13. It represents pride and loftiness. The bulls of Basham, talked about in Psalms 22 and 12, represents strength and breaking forth in wild strength as a bull. Og, the king of Basham, in Numbers 21 and 33, a giant meaning long neck, represents pride. Have you ever seen someone, when they walk, it's like they have this long neck? You ever noticed that? This is a high-ranking demon that's talked about again in Psalms 22, 1 through 15. Arba, A-R-B-A, it's a giant meaning strength, a cube, four, the symbol of great strength and stability, and it's characterized in the square of a cube. And it's the city of Arba. There were four giants that were mentioned in Judges 1 and 10. Anak, Deuteronomy 9 and 2. The long-necked giants represent pride. Ishbanab, Goliath's brothers, had six toes and six fingers. It's a giant, meaning my dwelling is on the prominence. My abiding is in the height. It represents pride and loftiness. And this giant was defeated by David in 2 Samuel 21 and 16. Now, the crown of pride mentioned in Isaiah 28 and 1 is a part of the chain of pride that we're talking about. This spirit is it runs with the rod of pride, which is talked about in Proverbs 14 and 3. You also find the chain of pride talked about in Psalm 76 and 6. Alcoholic walls, alcoholic patterns run with the crown of pride. The chain of pride is stubborn and stiff-necked. The rod of pride is foolish. It talks yourself in and talks yourself out of things. Have you ever heard people, they just get to talking and you believe what they're saying, and then all of a sudden they'll say something and everything that they said before becomes null and void? Or you have a friend that can talk themselves into the White House, but they keep talking until they talk themselves right on out the back door and are never able to take advantage of being in the White House? A lot of that is under the spirit of the crown of pride, where you have people who have been alcoholics and they have alcoholic chains and alcoholic mindsets. That, have you ever, a person that is beat when they're, get beat up when they're drunk and they wake up the next day and they don't remember? Eye all swollen up, face all black and blue and everything, but they don't remember anything. Don't remember how it happens or anything. That's foolishness. That comes with that crown of pride, the rod of pride, and the chain of pride that makes up that chain of pride demons that keep us from moving into the presence of God and having a greater depth and a greater understanding of the Word of God. Now, God will deal with the proud in dreams. It tells us that in Job 33 and 17. This is one that I found very interesting. Isaiah 3 and Isaiah 4 talk about the pride in women will cause baldness, burning, itching, and body odors. Sometimes wearing a lot of jewelry can be a sign of pride. Their self-deception, people who cannot control their tongue, such as drunkards, all of this falls under the spirit of pride. Other manifestations of pride include cursing and lying, Psalms 59 and 12, contention, Proverbs 13 and 10, drunkenness, Isaiah 28 and 10, wrath, Proverbs 21 and 4, strife, 28 and 25, disobedience, rebellion, and stubbornness in Nehemiah 9:16-29, arguing and disputing in 2 Timothy 3 and 2, and not seeking the Lord in Psalms 10 and 4. These are some evidences of pride, an independent spirit, the refusal to look to God or others for help, a failure to admit mistakes, a lack of a teachable spirit, a rebellious attitude toward those in authority, a proud countenance, self-centered conversation. Everything begins with I. Intolerance toward the mistakes of others. Now, that's a big one. Intolerance toward the mistakes of others. When someone keeps doing that, pride is somewhere resting about. And there's a chain, there's a, I have found that when people are intolerant of others that have made mistakes, that they themselves have some things that are going on. Because I have found that pride also, even though it's a very, very strong spirit, pride also is a compensating spirit for the spirit of fear. A person can operate in a lot of insecurity and a lot of fear, but the manifestation of that may be pride, big time pride. And a lot of times you see that a lot of times in men. But it's a big cover up for fear. And then when you go beneath that, you'll find that that is a cover up for a spirit of rejection. So when you are ministering to people and you are ministering, whether male or female, you'll find that if you start with a spirit of rejection and begin to whack away at all of the spirits that are operating under the spirit of rejection and separate it out from the spirit of rebellion, and disallow those demons from talking to each other, you'll usually work yourself through by the leading of the Holy Ghost and find that you're dealing with a person that first sat down in the chair that you thought was so full of pride, is so full of rejection, and so full of fear that pride has had an opportunity to come into this person's life. And when that happens, it's like, I'm never going to let it happen to me again. I ain't loving nobody. And sometimes they don't realize that they have made that statement. It just happens like the way that they live their lives. And they think about this incident or this thing that happened to them where they built up this wall to protect themselves. And for a minute or two, that was fine. But see, that also is in pride. Why? Because now you are protecting yourself instead of being under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty, who is going to protect you and lead you and guide you by the Holy Spirit so that you'll know who you can trust. Because the Word of God tells us what? Trust not in man, trust not in horses, trust not in chariots. It says trust what? Trust in the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. So we find ourselves many times getting caught up with pride and not recognizing that pride is so tied to our inability to trust God, our inability to have faith in God, our inability to believe what God's promises are in our lives. And when you cannot believe that, you'll find that somewhere along the way, there is some rejection and some fear and some pride have got a hold to your belief system so that you cannot believe the Word of God. And there are times when people have prayed for people who have problems with memory, people who may have a problem with, they say, oh, well, they're special, they're just a little slow. Well, there are sessions when people have been prayed for and come against the curse of pride and the sin of pride on the family line, and that person's thought processes begin to be quickened by the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Word of God gives life, it's quickened, it's Zoe energy. So if you're having a problem with remembering things, I may be tied up to those hot flashes, but I also think hot flashes and all them women's things need to be prayed about too. because I just think that's a curse of Eve, you know. But pride can be the basis and the crux for a lot of the challenges that we have in our walk with God. You know, and we have to be so careful because even the elect can be fooled. You know, we get so busy with things. We get so busy with church. We get so busy doing what we feel that God wants us to do. And that's all Leviathan and Orion wants us to do. Just get busy and forget to fast every now and then. Fasting is what breaks you down and lets you know if you can't fast for 24 hours, if you can't fast for 3 days, if you can't fast for 7 days and you got a real problem with that, you probably got a real problem with pride. Because, see, you want to be self-gratified. You want that food and you're going to find every excuse you can. Well, I got to take this medication. I'm working out here. I'm a construction worker. I got to have my food. I can't not fast. I got to have my food. I'm out here working in the heat. And everything. Keep giving yourself all them excuses. Take a day off. You know, Friday through Sunday, see if you can make it to Monday morning without eating. See what that'll do for you. Take you into a whole nother realm. Amen? Another thing that comes with pride. Now, this is a good one. Now, don't everybody just jump up and start trying to cast the devil of pride out of everybody. It's a bossy attitude. Make sure your discernment is working now. Make sure your discernment is working. You don't want to be casting out spirits of people's personality. Some people are just, you know, some people are just assertive. So be careful now. Don't be trying to cast out the person's personality that God gave them and everything. You know that apostolic is a little different than the pastor, and the pastor is a little bit different than the teacher. Get to know the body. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing wrong with them. So make sure that you understand the body of Christ and how our gifts operate in each other. That's very, very important, you know? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I had given you some scriptures on pride, and there are I have a paper which I'll be glad to make copies if anybody wants them. There are so many scriptures on the spirit of pride. Psalms 119 and 21 says, "Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from their commandments." 1 Timothy 6 and 4 said, "He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmising." That to me is a spirit of Orion, where people just like to talk to hear themselves talk. We call it philosophizing or philosophizing. Because, you know, you do a whole bunch of talk, eventually you're going to lie if you're not careful. You know, unless you are restrained by the Holy Spirit and he has hold of thy tongue. Amen. Proverbs 28 and 25, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." Amen. "When pride cometh," Proverbs 11 and 2, "then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." Proverbs 13 and 10, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." In other words, as long as we are teachable, if we remain teachable, then we can stay out of the way of pride. When there is pride operating in our hearts, we become unteachable. People can teach you, I don't care what they look like, what they have on, what they don't have on, how tall, how big, how old, or how young. If you stay teachable, and even listen to the children as they speak to you, they can teach you something. I was sharing with the women today that at some of the churches that I go to, I sit there and I pray, because as I listen to the churches, they struggle. They're struggling to get over into another level of God. They're crying out for it and they want it. And I know that God is going to bless them. So my position is not to go there and tell them how they're doing it all wrong, because I'm not a part of the tribe there. So I go and I sit and I pray, and I have grace with the pastor, and I have grace and favor with the pastor and his wife. But as I listen to them all move, I'm thinking to myself, God, if they only know about living. And I just kept praying. And one day the pastor started preaching, and I mean, he was like, God, I mean, he just stepped right over it. I was like, ooh, prayer works. And to believe God, you know, that prayer does work. And you pray. And I got great joy in watching them move toward that level of understanding that God does have everything that they need. and that the struggles that they're struggling with, it is my desire and my hope and my belief and my trust in God that in 6 months, 9 months, a year from now, that the things that they struggle with, grassroots things like lust and lack of money, low self-esteem, these are the very basic things that God deals with us on when we step into knowing who He is through deliverance. Because we can know God as our Savior, we know God as our healer, but a lot of people do not know God as their deliverer. And when they begin to know God as their deliverer, as I begin to watch them, I realize that what God was doing to me was breaking me down to understand and to receive and to accept people right where they are. And don't worry about what they don't know. Just worry about and pray for them to get what they got, use what they got, because God is going to do the rest. It's not up to me. God didn't put me there for that. My job is to pray. And that's what I did. And I was looking at the fruit coming from that obedience on my part. And I got great joy. And then that built my faith. That took me to another level. That meant that I was in line with the will of God. And when you're in line with the will of God, great things happen. And they're not always financial. They're intangible things that we cannot touch, things that we cannot see, but that bring about good fruit. And when we operate on that level, and that level of love, and that level of understanding the Word of God and letting the Word of God do that work in us on a daily basis, what happens? What happens is we become less and less offended with what people have to say about us. We become less and less offended and less about us and more about what are you saying, God? As the women of God, we were talking today about speaking forth to people and the people in the world always want you to give them a plan. They want you to tell them some great thing about what's going on in your life, some great miracle. And sometimes we're in the winter of our life and everything around us looks dead. I mean, you don't want to tell a heathen everything's dead in my life right now. Ain't nothing going on. What kind of witness is that? We talked about the Shulamite woman. Her son was dead. That was for real. That was a fact. But her belief system, her faith in God, would not allow her to say that he's dead. She said, all is well. And when you know that all is well, because you have submitted yourself to the Word of God, you fast when He tells you to fast, you go left when He say left, you go right when He say right, these things will allow you to say all is well no matter what your natural eye sees. Why? Because now you're operating on a level of faith that believes the Word and the promises of God. We have to get to a place where even if it doesn't look like it, if God promised it, then it is. God spoke the world into existence. There was nothing there before. He just spoke it. So God can't lie, because whenever He opens His mouth, something happens. If God said it is, no matter whether you see it or not, it is. So whatever God promised you, believe that, because it is. So everything is all right. All is well. Proverbs 16 and 18 said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So it seems like to me pride and haughtiness kind of go together. So if you're prideful, you may be a little haughty about a few things. And the Bible said, and if we're going to believe the Word of God and the promises of God, it said it goes before a fall. So when I find myself edging over into what seems like it might be a little pride, I get to thinking, oh man, I ain't ready to fall, you know. I fell off of my bike one time and I gave it away. I said, like, this is a death trap. I'm not riding this thing. So why am I going to fall? If I didn't want to fall off the bike, I do not want to fall on this walk. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean like, oh, I fall, like get up. I'm talking about fall, you know, in front of everybody because I refused to hear what God was telling me. And I got so full of myself that He had to knock me down in front of everybody to get my attention. That is not something that I want to do. Now, I don't call that pride. I call that precaution. I believe the Word. And I believe that God will do that. So I want to fast as often as I can. Read the Word as often as I can. Pray as often as I can. And believe that the Word of God is going to do the work in me that needs to be done. So that I can fulfill the destiny and the calling of God that's on my life. Amen? in Proverbs 21:4, a high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Now, that was interesting. The plowing of the wicked is sin. So, in other words, it sounds like to me that God is saying that our spirit, what's in our heart, and what is the spirit behind the things that we do. Okay, you got a wicked person. They're doing all sorts of wicked things. Things that you know are not right. Well, you go to the wicked person and you give them a piece of your mind and you roll your neck and you put your finger in their face, or you stand toe to toe and you tell them why and who they are and give them a piece of your mind. That's the wicked. But the Bible said right here that it's sin. Why would that be sin to tell the wicked what they're doing wrong? Because your heart is full of pride and haughtiness because you want them to believe what you believe and do what you tell them to do because you said it. Your heart, your spirit is wrong. If you go to them in what? In love, and you have submitted yourself, you have fasted and prayed, you have asked God what to do in that situation, because sometimes it might not even be your responsibility. Some water, some plant, but God gives the increase. That may not be your job. God didn't tell you to plow into the wicked. Give them a piece of your mind. You ain't got no mind to really give. You're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And if you got the mind of Christ and the heart of God, then you're not just walking around giving somebody a piece of your mind. Because if you want to give them a piece of your mind, which is the mind of Christ and the heart of God, you're going to be pouring love on them. You're going to be giving them what they need to have at the time God tells you to give them, because that's the time they're going to be ready to receive. So if you're not operating in pride, if you're not operating because you've been offended, and you're operating in what God has called you to operate in, much love and much forgiveness, then you won't plow into the wicked and be in sin. Isn't that something? Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow, the house of the proud. There's a thing called the curse of pride that can be on our family line, which when you look at a household and there's always devastation, early death, early destruction, finances messed up, people dying early, death coming in very horrible ways. Every year there's somebody dying in their family. That's usually a curse of death and destruction, and it could be connected to a curse of pride. And these are things that we have to pray about, especially if it's happening in your family. And if you see it happening in other people's families, then maybe you're supposed to pray about that. Maybe you're supposed to pray and begin to bind those things and seek God as to what you can say and what you can do. Because I've seen that kind of devastation happening more and more in the lives of people. And I sit and I said, oh, my God, oh, my God. And all you can do is just pray and bind and loose and believe God that somebody in that family will be the first. Because most of you sitting in this room are the first in your family line to step outside of the traditional norm to get an understanding of the deeper revelation of God and to move out beyond offense and what happens every day to seek God on a higher level. So you're going to be the first one to find God and begin to break the curses off of your family line so that your family can stand strong, and that the seed of your seed and the seed of your seed's seed will go to the 14th generation, because God's blessings go to the 12th and the 14th generations, where the curses go to the 10th and the 12th generation. So what you want to do, starting with yourself, is to begin to bring about the blessings of God on your family and begin to cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ in your family. And I assure you from experience, that's why I have the faith, because at first I couldn't see it. I lost a sister in a fire, and I was still praying and believing God for the salvation of my family. But through that all, God showed me. He's showing me things. I see it. Even when she passed, he let me know in my heart that it was okay. Because why? All is well. He's just God. He is a just and a righteous God. And 2 weeks before that fire, she gave her heart back to the Lord. So he's just. That built my faith to believe in him as a just and righteous God. You know, God is so many things and can be and wants to be so many things to us. that sometimes, as I said earlier, you can believe God for a healer if he heals you. You can believe God, you know, to be a deliverer if you've been delivered. You can believe God to be a teacher if he's been teaching you. You can believe God to be your father if he fathered you. So as we live in this life and we go from level to level and deeper in depth to the things of God, we'll find that God wants us to get to know him on different levels. So maybe next year my time will come to know God as Jehovah Jireh, my provider, in a bigger way than I've ever known. You may get to know him as a father in a way that you have never known him to be a father. He's just so different. He's so new. He's so awesome that every day, I imagine that when the angels go around and come back around, they say they fly around the throne going, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I would imagine that's because every time they go and come around again, they see something else different about him that they had not seen before. So why would he not be the same way in our lives if we would but let him? He is what we need when we need him at the time that we need. And he's just Jehovah Nick of time. He ain't coming on your time. Jeremiah 50, 31 and 2. And the most proud shall stumble and fall, backslide, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his city, and it shall devour all round about him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Leviathan, the self of man, I am. The Egyptian spirit, the spirit of the world and worldliness. Watch out for Leviathan operating in your tongue. Cutting, critical, rooted in pride. Gossip, slander, tale-bearing. Accuser of the brethren. Pride hides, and it has miserable feelings. It hides behind false humility and ego. Hyper-self-conscious, self-awareness. These spirits justify the disobedient, the anti-submissive, and rebellious spirit. And that spirit is stiff-necked, pride, stubbornness, hard-heartedness, cold-heartedness, and that uncircumcised heart are all a part of Leviathan. And they all operate with the children of pride that we talked about earlier. Be aware, Behemoth, your own will. Make sure that your will is the will of God. Be aware of rebelliousness, which brings sorrow and dismay and causes you to be unteachable. Be aware of the spirit of perfectionism. Perfectionists believe that nobody can or should be trusted, not even God, because sometimes even he misses the mark. Can you believe it? Self-will, selfish, stubborn, self-deception, deceit, self-seduction, and it creates this little circle. Unteachable, judgmental, it seeks to control others with an attitude of possessiveness. Little help when you become unteachable. You shift from God is the source to I am the source. If I don't pray 5 hours a day, if I don't fast every week, if I don't do this or that, it's not going to be right. Well, I thank God for this opportunity to talk with you about the spirit of pride and the spirit of Leviathan. I believe that along with the spirit of offense, that the spirit of pride connected to the spirit of offense will be in the days to come and has already proven itself to be a great hindrance to the body of Christ. I believe that we're going to find ourselves fasting more and more in the days to come. And these will be solemn fasts called by God. Not just a little fast because every Wednesday the church fasts, every Thursday the church fasts. No, I'm talking about some kick down, dragging out devil fasting. Because I want you to know that the demons that we're going to be facing as we enter into this new millennium, as we enter into this new year, these are not hanky-panky demons. And they're going to require us to not only know what we know, but to believe what we know and to act on it in great faith. These will be the ancient ones. These will be the ones that hell itself will open up and usher out for these last times, because the devil knows that his time is not long. And we have people, I'm just telling you, I saw stuff. We have people who don't even recognize really what, I'm going to use this word, what Christmas is supposed to be about. That if you don't see the cross overshadowing the cradle, then you don't have no revelation of what it's all about. And there are people who don't. There are people who don't have Bibles in their homes. They have not had a Bible in their home since Big Mama died 15 years ago. And they don't know where Habib lives. And these people are going to need us to know that we know that we know and not be afraid to pray for them. Not be afraid to look them in the eye and let them see the love of God operating in us. Perfect love casts out all fear. And fear is the thing that is holding the people that are in the world back from trusting God. They don't know how to trust nobody. Nobody has shown them any trust. So it is God Himself operating through us, showing them love through us. That's all they're going to know. You will become witnesses, like it or not. So set your face like flint and recognize that God is still on the throne. Make sure He's on the throne of your heart. Make sure that you are doing what God is calling you to do. Make sure when you enter this next year that you realize that when you speak forth your word, you may not be as loud as me. Your voice may be softer than mine. But what matters the most is, do you believe what you're saying? Because God is going to take each one of us and our own personality. And see, you can't even get to your own personality and who you are until you really trust God and have received the deliverance that God needs for you to receive. Because you're busy hiding stuff, putting up your walls of pride. It takes a lot to love. Just everyday husband and wife relationship. It takes a lot to love God, and He knows that. He also knows that there are times when we're angry with Him because we don't understand His character. We don't understand why something happened and we were praying and it happened anyway. All is well. You're going to have to live on it. You're going to have to float on it. You're going to have to cook it. You're going to have to eat it. It's going to have to be a cloak. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 20:4, obedience and the reverential fear of God brings riches, honor, and life. Probably doesn't say obedience. I think it says humility. One and the same to me. I couldn't get past them, so I figured it must be the same somehow. I leave you with that. I leave you to understand that God has called you for just such a time as this. It is not coincidence that you are here. It is not coincidence that this word has been spoken over you. He loves you. He adores you. His whole world, everything that God has been about, has been to bring us all back into the garden with Him so that we'll love Him and that we become His instruments of praise, His instruments of worship, His instruments of warriors. And we have our tools. We have our equipment. We have the prayer. We have the praise. We know how to speak forth His words. Use them all. Guard yourself up. Gird yourself up and be ready and be prepared. Do not allow the spirit of pride to enter into the garden of your heart. Do not allow the spirit of offense to enter into the garden of your heart and cause there to be a root of bitterness which will spring up and devour all that is around you. Inventory as we enter into 2005. 5, God's number for grace and mercy. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank You for these, Your people. I ask You now in the name of Jesus to just bless them. Father, we take authority over the spirit of pride and the spirit of Leviathan right now in Jesus' name. We take authority over the spirit of Nimrod, the hunter that goes after the souls of Your people, and we bind and break him now in the name of Jesus. We come against any hidden pride that is in the hearts of Your people, even me, God. Hallelujah. God, we come against the spirit of passivity and rebellion. We come against that stiff-necked, stubborn spirit of pride. We come against the hardness of heart and the inability to give and receive love. We bind and break that spirit now in the name of Jesus, and we loose the spirit of humility and obedience now in the name of Jesus. We bind and break the spirit of Orion. We bind and break that intellectual spirit that intellectualizes us out of being able to fast and pray and to seek You on another level, God. We bind and break that spirit of pride that won't let us understand the things of God and Your spirit. We bind and break the spirit of pride that clouds our perception, mind-blocking, mind-binding spirits right now in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit that cause our eyes not to see and our ears not to hear. We bind and break that spirit right now that causes self-righteousness and forgetfulness in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. We bind and break the spirit of greed and covetousness. We bind and break the spirit of jealousy and enviness. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we bind the spirit of sleepiness doing services that would cause the men and women of God to miss your word. We bind that spirit now in the name of Jesus. We bind doubt and unbelief, and we lose faith, hope, and trust in you, O God. We bind marriage-breaking spirits now in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirit of delusion and deception now in Jesus' name, God. And we loose upon the people your word, God, in the name of Jesus. We bind the no understanding and the lack of sensitivity, man to woman and woman to man. We bind those spirits of strife and contention, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just praise you. We bind those spirits of stumbling and falling and backsliding right now that would cause us to depart from you, God, in the name of Jesus. We bind and break the hardness of heart, God, in the name of Jesus. We bind and break, Father God, that spirit of pride that keeps the people from repenting when they have sinned, O God. O God, we ask you right now for a spirit, Father God, of wisdom and revelation. We ask you, Father God, that the fear of the Lord will fall upon us even now as I speak, God, in the name of Jesus. That we would have love, Father. That we would have love for one another. That we would love ourselves, God, enough to love you, God. That not in a bad way, Father God, but if we don't love what you are doing in our lives and recognize, Father God, that you don't make mistakes, recognize that you have made us beautifully and wonderfully, God, then what we're saying is that you're not a good God and that you make bad things. God, forgive us for that in the name of Jesus. We bind and break the spirit of low self-esteem. We bind and break those spirits right now in the name of Jesus. We set a new blood wall, God, a fresh blood wall, between the spirit of rebellion and rejection now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we loose the finger and the fire of the Holy Ghost upon those spirits of pride, casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ. Oh, Holy Ghost, blow upon our souls, blow upon our hearts, and let the wind of the Holy Ghost go between the scales of Leviathan and his children, causing them to wither up and die, God, that we may have the spirit of humility, that we might have the spirit of obedience, that we may live long, and that we may honor our God in the name of Jesus. Father, we praise you. We give you glory and honor. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We bind and break every spirit of misunderstanding and offense that is in the hearts of the people right now that have caused marriage-breaking spirits, that would cause people to back away from each other, that would cause the men and women of God to not understand each other. We bind and break that now in the name of Jesus. Father, we loose the angels of God to go in and pull out the tares of the wheat right now from our hearts in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, to loose your angels, to cut off the tentacles of mind control. Cut that devil off now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God. Right now in Jesus' name, mind control, loose the people of God. Loose them now in Jesus' name. Mind control and forgetfulness. We bind and break your power. We bind and break the power of Orion now in Jesus' name. You devils, manifest and go in Jesus' name. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. Angels, take these devils where Jesus said for them to go in the name of Jesus. We come against that I am self-man spirit. Oh, what I want to do, what I see, what I think is not what we think, it's what God thinks. And we loose the word upon you now. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways we shall acknowledge him, devil, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, God. We worship you, God. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, we thank you. We bind off that spirit of mind control that causes us to keep going to the past and reliving over and over again those things that have hurt us, those things that have offended us. We bind and break that thing now. We loose the angels to cut off the tentacles of this thing, this devil now, in the name of Jesus. And we bind that third eye of witchcraft. Witchcraft, manipulation, and control. I'll not let it happen to me again. I'll control my own situation. I love who I want to love. We bind and break that now in the name of Jesus. That spoken curse over each other's lives and over our lives personally. And we curse you in Jesus' name. Oh, robots, ta 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 ta. Father, we thank you that we have the ability to submit, and we submit to you, God. We submit to your word, God. We submit to your calling on our lives, God. We submit to you, God. We cast down vain imaginations now in the name of Jesus, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Mind control, go. Mind control, move now. Come out of the hearts of the people. Come out of the hearts of the people. Sickness and infirmity. Mariam. Allergies, asthma. You go now in the name of Jesus. Lift up.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.